The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 15th day of April 2022. And I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. We're still here and still dropping a dime on the darkness out there. And tonight, as usual on Friday, my two scholarly co-hosts are here. John McTernan, say hello.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all the listeners.
And John Holman.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie, and Lord's blessings on all the listeners.
All right. Well, I want to wish you guys and everyone out there listening to us a happy Resurrection Sunday this Sunday. And so,
I
you
like
know,
that testimony. That's what it is, Resurrection Sunday, not Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday.
It is. Now, you just brought up a good point. I'm going to have John Holman. John, do you have a regular Bible or do you have one of those mechanical things?
I have the regular mechanical Bible.
Oh, well, one of you guys go over to Acts 12, verse 4, if you can do that. Acts 12, verse 4.
I'm there.
Okay, go ahead and read that verse.
And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to quarterion.
Quarterians, yeah.
Yeah. My tongue's... Oh, I can't even say that.
That happens to me all the time, yeah.
Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Okay, now that word, Easter, in the Greek, John McTernan, is Paschal, or a word for Passover. But now, why is it that we're not going to use that word? Because even though it's a word for Paschal, for the Paschal lamb or the Passover, we don't use that word because somebody turned to 1 Samuel 31 and read me verses 9 and 10. 1 Samuel 31, verses 9 and 10. I read 31. No, 31. If I remember right, it's 1 Samuel 31, verses 9 and 10.
And they cut off the head and stripped off his armor and sent him into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth and fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan.
Okay, so now why do we today, the people, associate that word Easter with Ashtaroth? There's something that takes place, that took place in those days. Ashtaroth was the god of fertility. And I'll give you the hint. One of what she did is Semiramis. Semiramis, and they referred to her as Ashtaroth too. She was Nimrod's mother, and later became, you know, had an incestuous relationship with her son. When he was killed, she was left pregnant with his son. Now, one of the things that they did, the custom was, and see if this sounds like maybe you could kind of associate with it today, and that's why we don't use that word Easter. They would take and they would find an oak tree, and they would take and they would find a female rabbit, and they would take eggs. They would find the different eggs, and they would color eggs. Eggs was a sign of fertility. The oak tree was a sign of fertility. And then they would take a female rabbit, and they would remove her sex organs, and they would eat those. And then, and later, it became where they would find a pregnant woman. And they believed that if you drank the blood of the youngest, whatever years that person would have had, you will get those words. And they would find a pregnant woman, cut the baby out of her belly, slit its throat, and drink its blood. And they believed that that would give you all of the years of that the child would have had that you'll have. Now, how do we associate that with things that happen today?
Abortion.
Well, now think about it. We're talking about...
Well, they say they're drinking the blood of...
Yeah. Abortion. But I'm talking about, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail now. And he's got this basket full of colored eggs. And here, this rabbit, the colored eggs. By the way, you know, this radio program right here, we were the very, very first people to go on air and tell the liberals that rabbits don't lay eggs. Nobody knew that until we brought it out. At first, they laughed at us and they mocked us, but then we proved it to them later on. But so, folks, there you go. But anyhow, do you see, do you associate the rabbits, the fertility, the rituals of Estroth and Semiramis with Easter, the eggs, the Easter egg hunts, okay? And so this is why fundamentalist Christians refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. Not that we don't know what the word Easter or Paschal means, okay, but we know what it's associated with, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
That means we're smarter than the other ones, right, that don't know that?
I guess. I don't know. That's debatable.
All right. Okay. Now, with that, we got to get into our scripture. And here's what we'll do. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 52 and read verses 13 through 15. And John Holman, you read verses of Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. And then John, you read it 7 through 12. So I'm going to start. You ready?
Isaiah 53.
Yeah, 1 through 6.
That's what you're going to do.
No, that's what you're going to do. I'm going to do Isaiah 52, 13 through 15.
All right, Isaiah 53, 1 through 6.
Yeah.
Who has believed?
No, not yet. Wait, you have to wait to me, because I go before you.
Oh, okay, well, okay. I'm easily confused.
All righty. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astounded at thee, his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Now, John.
All right, Isaiah 53:1. Mm-hmm. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
All right, going back to 52, behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled very high, as when many were astonished at his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form was more than the sons of men. Well, you know, when he talks about he was not a real handsome man to look upon. He was just a regular, normal-looking man before they crucified him. But why do you think, now, do you think he could have been the most beautiful man that ever walked the face of the earth, do you think, if he wanted to have been?
Sure, Pastor Ernie, but I don't think he was, because he didn't want to have that type of attraction. The attraction was more what he was said and doing.
All right. You know, when we used to, when Elvis Presley was in his prime there, the girls used to take off their clothes and throw them at him. They would do that. So by looking on him, it made them lust or sin. Do you think the Lord, I mean, he could have been so attractive, but he knew that if he had been that attractive, it would have caused these women to do that?
That's what I said. He wanted, I don't think he was ugly, because that would really distract from him. And he wanted like a body to deliver the message. And it was the message he was delivering, and then the miracles that he was performing, which was showing the authority of who he was.
So it was his words he wanted people to remember, not what he looked like, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Now, when we read this here, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So is Isaiah speaking of Israel straying away from God and likens them to wandering sheep?
Absolutely, Bethlehem.
Okay, yeah. So now when it says he was afflicted, he was rejected of men, is that still taking place today?
Sure. Yeah.
It's still taking place today. And would you say probably even today? I got an article here. I want to read this article for you real quick. Okay, I read it last night, but this has something to do, and we're going to ask you about this too, with the kill shots. But listen, the number of Americans who use the Bible drops off a cliff. In every study since 2018, Bible users have accounted for 47 to 49% of adults. The survey found that 2022 data showed a 10% decrease from the same time in 2021. This is the largest in 1 year, 10% decrease in those that read the Bible. This means nearly 26 million Americans reduced or stopped their interaction with the scriptures in the past year. The largest ever took place. Now, I got an idea why that is, and I'll talk about that a little later here. But so it was his words that he wanted the people to remember, not what he looked like, huh?
Yeah, correct, Mr. Ernie.
By his...
What he was saying, the physical part of the Lord really didn't mean anything. It was what he was saying, the miracles that he was performing, the word of God that he was pronouncing. That's what was to catch the people's attention. That's what was to... He wanted to draw them to the truth.
I think a good analogy in Scripture is that dress is supposed to be modest. So I kind of think that, you know, when the Lord put on that physical body, he had to have that. So, you know, they're not drawn to his physical appearance. Exactly what John said, you're drawn to what he said and what he did.
All right, you know? Going to verse 11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify. Is that telling us of the enormous, enormous family of believers who will become righteous, not by their own works, right, but by what? The Messiah's work on the cross. Is that what he's saying there? Are they accounted righteous because they have claimed Christ, the righteous servant?
Our righteousness comes through Christ. That's how we obtain our righteousness, through his righteousness. It's applied to us when we become born-again believers.
All right, very good.
Yeah, could I add something there, Pastor Ernie, please?
Yeah, that's why you're here.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm polite, though. I'm very polite.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Isaiah 53:11. The reason I'm sharing this is that Resurrection Sunday and Passover is falling at the same time. Virtually the same time.
Right. Well, Passover started tonight at about 6 o'clock. Right. Well, sundown here it was sundown here was later than 6 o'clock, but around 8 o'clock here, Passover would have started the sundown.
Yeah, and so verse 11 says, "He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Now, this verse here is a real truth teller, because when you, through the years, Pastor, and if you remember, I interacted with a lot of rabbis and debated the rabbis about Jesus being the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's no way the Jewish people believe, the rabbis teach that Isaiah 53 is about Israel.
Yeah.
And when you look at scriptures, in no way can Israel be God's righteous servant. No way.
Nope.
God's righteous servant is the Messiah. So that verse right there tells you that Isaiah 53 has to be about a person, and God's righteous servant is the Messiah of Israel. So Isaiah 53 has to be about the person of the Messiah, not the nation of Israel.
Well, could Isaiah 53 be about any other person? Could it apply to John the Baptist? Could it apply to Peter or Paul? Could it apply to any other person other than Christ?
No, the only person that's righteous before God is Jesus Christ.
So, okay.
And then when he died on the cross, 2 Corinthians is really explicit on this. Basically what it is, it's a trade. He was without sin. He was righteous and holy. And our sin was placed on him. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imparted in us. So that's a pretty good trade, Pastor Ernie. All our sin to be righteous before God so we can go and be in heaven.
Well, I can tell you, again, we caught a tremendous break with that because none of us could have got there through our own righteousness, huh?
Well, the scriptures are very clear. Our righteousness is as filthy rags.
The best of our righteousness, huh? Is like filthy rags. Okay, here. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Why would it please the Lord to bruise him?
Well, again, that's exactly what we're talking about. He was bruised for our iniquity, for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the sin demands a horrible judgment. And Jesus, the cross is a picture of the terrible price that has to be paid for sin, Pastor. So that's that bruise. That's why he was bruised, to pay the price for our sin.
So why was it, God the Father demanded this. Why was it the Lord Jesus that had to hang on that cross? I mean, certainly Satan deserved to go through that more than anybody, but why was Jesus the only one that could have taken our place on that cross?
Well, because he couldn't have sin. He didn't have a sin nature. That's why in our belief system, the virgin birth is so important. So he was born without sin. He never sinned once on earth. He was perfect. So then because he never sinned, he could then pay. He then was able to suffer in our place, and then we took his righteousness.
So in order to pay for sin, God the Father demanded a sinless sacrifice, and then the only one that could fit that bill would be the Lord himself, because there was no one else that had ever been born without sin, right?
Yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the only begotten. He's unique from everyone else. Everyone else that was born and everyone else that will be born, he is unique. He's the only begotten Son of God.
Well, and that, you just hit on another one there, because that verse, John 3:16, is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible because of one word, and that word is so. That word so. Why would that be, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I don't think it's misunderstood.
Well, it says, for God so loved the world. That word so has several meanings in it. It means in this manner or in this way. So if you go, so God in this manner or this way loved the world, and he was talking about the sacrifice of Christ. Because now, does the Bible in any way contradict itself?
No.
Well, if we go over to, read me James 4:4. Somebody read me James 4:4.
You got it, John?
Yeah, I'll be there in a second. James 4:4. Okay.
Go ahead, and right. when you get it, read it.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
So are you saying that the world is God's enemy?
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world. Well, the world means the world.
All right.
Of the world.
John McTernan, go to that metal Bible and read 1 John 2, 15 and 17. John 2:15-17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Yeah, okay. There's a definition for the world.
All right, so if we go back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when that word there means in this way or in this manner, okay, so he's not talking about the whole world, everybody in the world. He's talking about in this manner, and the manner was what? Through the cross at Calvary, right?
Well, it depends, Pastor Ernie. That's true, but the context of this, I'm looking at it right now, and the word so means in this way.
Or in this manner.
Yeah, in this manner. What precedes or follows. So, for God so loved the world, and it tells us. It tells us. It follows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then it clarifies it by saying, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's what he's referring to right there. You got it. Hang tight. Right. We're going to a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have a quick little clip here. And it's about the CIA and guess where in the Ukraine. Be right back.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear, an awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John.
Big John.
Now, there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
So communism became the bugaboo, and the Soviet Union became the enemy. And even though, and one of the things the CIA did right after World War II was hire a lot of Nazis. Guys who'd been Nazis were now recycled and brought into the CIA. Nazi rocket scientist von Braun went to work for the United States developing intercontinental ballistic missiles. So the Nazi past was forgiven, and Nazis went to work for the United States, including a guy named Reinhard Gehlen, who'd been the Nazi military intelligence officer in charge of operations against the Soviets in Eastern Europe. And this guy, Gehlen, became the head of the CIA's main intelligence operator into East Berlin and areas like the Ukraine, where the Nazis had intelligence agents during World War II. And this guy, Reinhard Gehlen, on behalf of his new CIA masters, just activated all the agent nets that he had during World War II. The same thing was going on in Ukraine, although the Ukraine had very much large swaths of its population were fascists and were actively involved against the war against the Soviets. Were enemies of the United States in World War II. After World War II, they became assets of the CIA. So the CIA has been developing fascist assets in the Ukraine for 70 years. And every year since 1948, when the CIA went into operation, it has had a station in the Ukraine with a CIA officer who's running operations. And those operations have all been directed against first the Soviet Union and after the collapse of the Soviet Union against Russia. There's a lot of momentum that has built up over 75 years. Vast agent nets have been put in place. Sleeper agents have been in place for decades. And they're all working against Russia, which is why nowadays it's so hard for the mainstream media and the government to shift and even consider for a moment having good relations with Russia. NATO, its whole mandate and its whole reason for its existence has been to threaten and roll back Russia and eventually sabotage and subvert it and put it out of business. And Ukraine, the CIA's operations in the Ukraine are the cutting-edge vanguard of this effort. So if you look at recent events in Ukraine, you have to see them in that context. How, for decades, the CIA has been trying to recruit Ukrainian politicians, Ukrainian businessmen, who are sympathetic and compatible with Western American ideas and values and interests of fighting against the Russians and recruiting them and putting them in place and setting them up with bank accounts, giving them paramilitary training. Everything the CIA does across the board, Ukraine has been the vanguard of this operation against Russia. The details are in my book, The CIA's Organized Crime, how this works at the agent level, how the CIA would go around and work with after the coup that threw out a pro-Russian government and installed a pro-American anti-Russian government, how the CIA already had security services and military people in place who were able to create private militias that would then work against individuals in the Ukraine who were pro-Russian. How they, just like treating it like South Vietnam or any other country that the United States occupies. And that is the situation in the Ukraine. The United States occupies Ukraine. Its government is an occupation government that's supported and funded and directed by the United States. And the businessmen and the military people and the politicians that support the Americans benefit, and those who don't are put on hit lists and they're targeted. And that's basically the history and the summary of what's going on in the Ukraine. And the CIA, through its agent operations, which have been in place for 70 years, is at the vanguard of that operation.
So is the intent and purpose of the CIA and American involvement in Ukraine to topple Russia, to balkanize Russia?
Oh, absolutely, but also to steal Ukraine's, to take all the natural resources that are available there, the profits that can be had. I mean, it's capitalism. It's, you know, nationalism, American nationalists, who businessmen. I mean, as soon as the CIA arranged that coup and installed a pro-American government, Joe Biden's son became the head of one of the biggest oil companies, I think it was, in the Ukraine. You know, I mean, American businessmen just swooped down like vultures to take over all the, you know, any business that could, like mafia dons and mafia, you know, gangsters that they could steal everything from. And that's exactly what they're doing. And especially in eastern Ukraine, where a lot of the natural resource industries are based, that's why it's so contentious there. The CIA, through its assets in private industry, is trying to bring all those people who are considered compatible into the American fold. You don't see it at its dirty level, the level of blackmailing people, the level of extorting people, the level of the CIA using its underworld contacts to squeeze these people and to force them out of business and to make life miserable for them so that they give up their associations with Russians and Russian businessmen. But that's what's going on at the very basic level. I mean, militias are being formed to terrorize anybody who's supporting Russia and like in Donbass and places like that. So the details, again, which you would have to spend years studying to understand, I suggest you just read the books to see how the CIA has relationships with the security services in the Ukraine. And as soon as the coup was launched, it took over control of those security services, and it started drawing up the hit lists that of targeting people that it could go after. And the reason it's targeting the people it targets most highly are the people that are sitting on natural resources that American businessmen want. It's not going after, you know, plumbers and carpenters. It's going after major businessmen. And that's what the CIA does. It paves the way for American business interests by using illegal methods. And by using illegal methods to install politicians in the Ukraine that will follow the American line. Everything that you don't know about that is going on and that you're not told about by the media, which I should add is well aware of what's going on, but just doesn't tell you because it's good for their business too.
All righty, that was journalist Douglas Valentine, nationally known journalist who just gave you that clip. John McTernan, I've gotten some people upset with my reporting because we've been reporting on what is actually happening in the Ukraine, and we've been reporting on a major part of the Ukraine military are Nazis. Am I right?
I don't know about a major part, Pastor Ernie, but certainly a part of them. It's called Azov. Yeah, I don't know how widespread it is, but one section for sure are Nazis. Now, this is baffling to me because Joe Biden and the hard left and Obama and all of these, they look at every American, every white American is a racist, a Nazi, an old nationalist Nazi and all. And they're trying to drive them out of the government, out of the army, for example. And here we are cooperating with, no holds barred Nazis in the Ukraine.
Not just cooperating, John, funding. Department,
that's what I meant.
The Department of Justice has been funding these Nazis. Now listen, remember how they'll always tell you to do the opposite of what they're doing, or always accuse you. This has come right from Karl Marx's handbook. We got such a corrupt government. I mean, from the White House down, it's bad. It's all gone corrupt, really corrupt. And so, but what they're doing, now remember that Merrick Garland just recently came out and said, America's biggest threat are white supremacists or Nazis. And so at the same time, they're funding them, and they're here in the United States too, working, and they're being funded. Okay, so are we going to see maybe some major false flag events taking place like January 6th? That was a major false flag that was headed up by the CIA's 22-something agents were seen there, or the FBI. So that was a major, major false flag put up by the Democratic Communist Party. That's the truth. And of course, they won't tell you the truth, none of the fake media, and that includes Fox News. Fox News knows it, but they won't tell you the truth either. Maybe one person on there would, and it's Tucker Carlson. I'm amazed that he's still there. So what do you think of that? Are we supposed to tell the people what they need to hear, or are we supposed to tell them what they want to hear?
Well, the truth, Pastor Ernie. We can't. We need the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we need the truth. We need the truth about medical issues. We need truth about political issues. So, yeah, we have to base what we're doing on the truth. And we are, with the current regime in there, Pastor Ernie, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy?
Well, in the current regime, they don't have any good guys at all.
That's what I mean. So who's the good? The way I look at this fight in Ukraine, it's sort of like Stalin versus Hitler.
Yeah, it kind of is. It is. Now, listen, let me ask you this, okay? Who would you trust or believe? Would you believe Putin or Joe Biden? Which one I know you're not going to believe either one of them, but who would you?
Right.
Yeah.
Pick your poison, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. I mean, there's, as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference at all.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Look, I'm an American. I'm an American nationalist. I don't care. I'm a nationalist. America first and the patriot and all. But the government that we have hates people like us, Pastor Ernie. They hate us. They're the New World Order. They're not America first. They're using America to advance a whole new agenda. The world government, world economy, and all power is going to, they want in their hands. So we have like two Americas now. We have the America that we grew up and knew, and we have this monster in there now that's wants to bring America under the New World Order.
Two nations inhabiting one land, huh?
Yes.
They
hate us. Now, Pastor Ernie, all the listeners, I really want to understand this. The hard left here in America, the hard left communists, the woke people, this whole conglomerate there coming together, they hate us as much as the Nazis hated the Jews. That's the best way to show the hatred they have for us. And if they are able, they will use physical violence against us, just like the Nazis did to try and kill all the Jews. Not only the Jews, but political people that supported the Jews or they were against the Nazi agenda. They want to kill them also. So these are dangerous people that are in power now, Pastor Ernie, here, dangerous people.
Well, you know, the woke people, do the woke, and I'm talking about Coca-Cola, Walmart, and these others, do they have a lot of egg on their face now after giving all of that money to burn, loot, and murder, formerly known as Black Lives Matter?
The strange thing about these people, Pastor Ernie, is they have no conscience. Like, so, no, the only reason they would have any, what would be the word, any conscience about it, is if it looked like it was going to destroy them economically. All of a sudden, there was a gigantic boycott of Walmart, and Walmart was going out of business. You know, then they probably would try and repent and everything else. But right now, they act like nothing happened. You take like CNN and MSNBC, the New York Times, all the lies about Trump, and not only Trump, but I mean lie after lie after lie, they just move on. It's proven, like Hunter Biden's laptop. You know, now it's been conclusively proven that everything that was said that we were promoting was true. Now it's been proven that we're true, and everything they said was a lie. So they'll try and move on from it, Pastor Ernie. They're not going to go up publicly and admit it and say we did this to help the 2020 election and to help Biden be elected and all. They're not going to say anything. They'll just move on and they'll go to the next slide.
Yeah, absolutely.
No content.
Let me ask you this, okay? You know, Coke took a hit on the sale of Coca-Cola. A lot of people, when Coke came out and said that we have to be less white, try to be less white, a lot of people quit. I know a lot of people that won't drink Coke anymore because of that. And of course, they have their other products. So, but that took a good hit. Actually, I quit drinking Coke, and you know what? I've become even whiter. What about what about you guys?
I never drank it, Pastor Ernie. Never. I don't drink soda at all.
So I bet you a whole lot of
Who I used to like Gillette razors. And when they came out with that male, what was it? Male dominance or something?
Yeah.
You remember the advertisement for Gillette?
Yeah.
They were trying to show a girl thought she was a man how to shave right. That was it. And then they took a big hit.
Yeah, same thing with me. I went right from Gillette to Schick. And
yeah, that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, now let me ask you.
I won't go to Target. I won't go to Target because Target allows men in the ladies' room in their stores. And there was numbers. I don't know how it's continuing now, but I know through the years, I guess, they've arrested men for trying to molest women in Target rooms.
There's been
attorney in Target.
Yeah.
In Target. Do they still allow men in the women's restroom?
Yeah. And up here, we had a major boycott of them. We were out protesting in front of Target stores. And, I don't go into a Target store at all for that reason only.
Yeah, I don't know what their policy is now. I haven't heard anything about it, but I haven't been to a Target store since they started allowing men in the ladies' room.
It makes you feel good not to do that, to quit when you pass by one and say, you know, you're not getting any of my money. And so, yeah, but now I'm going to shift the directions here. Remember at the beginning of the program when I was telling you about how in 1 year, 21 to 22, you had this huge increase of 38%, actually over from, I think, 38%. Let me see. Only the Bible disengaged category grew, and it's at an alarming rate of 38%, and that is 45.2 million adults in a single year quit reading the Bible. Now, there was something that took place in that year in this country that I think may attribute that. Now, I mentioned last night, I got a very good friend who he had told his wife, do not take the killer shot. Don't take it. Don't take the killer shot. And, well, I guess she was working as a nurse, and she went and she got it. And then, well, that wasn't the reason. That's right. He was telling me she said no. She was going to use her religious exemption. But her daughter said, look, if you're going to come and visit your grandchildren, you have to take the poisonous shot. They actually called it a vaccine. She said, you have to get vaccinated. So this woman, instead of listening to her husband, listened to her daughter. And after she got that shot, her entire personality changed. Her entire personality changed. Now, I've seen this with some other people. Whether after they got the poisonous poke, their personalities changed. And do you think, because you guys are brilliant, I know that, do you think that that's probably the reason that so many people, this great amount of people, quit reading the Bible between the years 21 and 22?
You know, Pastor Ernie, that's a good theory on that, really. Every once in a while, you know, you come up with something really good.
Yeah, that's what I do. I do those good theories. Yeah.
Is that luck? Is it luck? No, that's really good, Pastor Ernie. You know, wouldn't that coincide maybe with people not going back to church also?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. The very same thing. Yeah.
So both of them, if they look at church attendance and all, because a number of churches have closed, and as a result of it. So yeah, that could be it, Pastor Ernie. That could be a part of it, anyways. A good part of it.
Right. Well, so I'm going to ask some, find out how maybe we can take some kind of a poll on that, but I got a feeling that that's got a whole lot to do with it. So, all right.
You have something there. A lot of people probably only crack their Bible when they go to church. So they weren't going to church, so they didn't crack their Bible.
Yeah, that's a good theory, too. You know what? You should only read your Bible every day. Right? Every single day. Okay? It's the greatest source of information. It's the greatest source of truth, and it is the absolute authoritative book in the world, right? And so
absolutely, and it's a living word. It's a never ending book. You always can get something new out of it. You can always get what I call a golden nugget out of the Bible.
Absolutely,
world.
Absolutely. I know we're coming up to a break. Then when we come back from the break, I'm going to introduce a clip to you, and I got a bunch of articles that, boy, we got to look at here, too. Okay. So what we're going to be looking at is about the stolen election. The stolen. Remember, where's the evidence? All the talking heads all said the same thing, but we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. It's coming now.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.